Good morning. What a wonderful privilege it is to be in your midst this morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
And good morning. I want to talk about words for a few minutes this morning. You know, I'm a lover of words. In fact, every now and then I'll look at I'll be reading through and I'll think, I wonder what that word was supposed to be. And I'll go to Bible Hub is what I use when I look at a concordance for the or a lexicon for Greek or Hebrew. And I'll go to my my Bible Hub and I'll go into that lexicon and I'll read it alongside the along the lexicon listings. And when I find the part that I want to figure out, then I'll jump into that and kind of look at the breadth of all the things that it could have meant. And then I wonder to myself whether that word actually is intended to convey all of those possible meanings as part of the text. And we have chosen just maybe one or two or a phrase to stand in the position of that Hebrew word or that Greek word. More likely to happen in the Hebrew than the Greek. But there are things, you know, language is a gift to us. I'm not sure what we'd do without it. But it is also a wild thing. And I tend to have disagreements with language as we use it in this country from time to time. And one of the things that I have always struggled with is two words, discovery and invention. I really struggle with those two words. Now, I have made my peace with the fact that these are used in certain ways in the English language. That if it is a discovery, it is already preformed and no one has discovered it before, but it was already there. And if it is invention, then some human being somewhere along the line has found a way to put things together in a way that has never been done before. And so they get credit for inventing. But to me, the word invention is a fake word. Or at least I might have said it that way when I was young, because I started struggling with this really early on. You see, I believed that there was God. I wasn't formed as a Christian yet. It wasn't really for a long time, but I believed that there was God and that God was the creator of all things and that God's design was planted in all things. And God had given human beings certain gifts, like curiosity that killed the cat, for one. The ability to, and even drive, it sometimes seems, to engage in trial and error. Oh, that flame looks pretty. I'm going to touch it. Oh, I won't do that again. And even to reason through things that might work and might not work and decide you're going to try this one over that one and see what happens. It's an experiment and you watch what's going on. You use your senses to figure out what's going on. And then if it's not an outcome that you like, well, you adjust something here or there and you try again. Maybe with some persistence because you really want to accomplish some specific thing. I don't remember how many experiments Thomas Edison went through, but it was a lot in finding the light bulb. So these are the kinds of things, by the way, you know, the light bulb, for example, that we call invention. One really good example of this is Louis Pasteur. Louis Pasteur discovered that there was a link between organisms that were too small for the human eye to see without aid and disease. So he discovered that link. And he also figured out a way that could be a preventative way for those organisms that cause disease not to enter into certain kinds of food, especially things like milk. And we call his invention pasteurization. Now, why do I say that way? It's because I don't really believe in that word invention. I believe in discovery. Why? Because God is the creator of all things. God is the designer of the human being, gifted us with five senses, helped us to know, planted it in within us, that we're going to discover the world by those five senses, at least initially. Have you ever seen a baby going, and their eyes wide open and looking out and maybe smiling? Well, they're trying to discover their hand again. Somewhere along the line, they've seen this amazing thing, and they want to find it again, and they believe that it's out there, so they're trying to get their eyes, because their eyes normally would focus way beyond, trying to get their hand in a position where it will focus for their eyes to actually see it. And by repetition of this, they will discover how to make that more consistent so they can actually study that amazing hand thing that does all these wonderful things. So we do, in a very primitive kind of way, use our five senses to discover the world around us, to find out what we like and what we don't like in the way of flavors, to figure out what our body is capable of. And God has amazingly put many, many things inside of us. We are made in God's very own image. We are made with the desire to know and understand. We are made with the capacity for taking a problem and searching for a solution. We are made with a will to accomplish things, that with persistence. We're blessed with all of these things. All of these things, every possible thing that has any potential for anything that has come by way of human hands, is gifted into us by God. So it still to this day, to me, seems only logical that if there is an inventor at all, it is God. I like other words better. And everything else is discovery. We are discoverers. And to me, that is a very, very exciting proposition. What do you think? You know, this passage from Hebrews is part of a chapter in the book of Hebrews that is sometimes called the Hall of Faith. And with the individuals that are listed in that book, we could let it be our guide to go back and read the stories about them in the scripture. Revisit the epic stories of those who are in Genesis all the way up to Joseph. To discover each and every one individually. To walk a little bit with Moses. To experience by these stories the majesty, the marvelous love of God that was poured out on humankind. The things that God brought them through, led them, showed them, gave proof of to them that God was God and that God loved them and cared about them. And they were not able or willing to believe it so many times. We have those stories in the Old Testament. And God's love for us as human beings is marvelous. It is marvelous beyond words that God would reach out to us and love us through his one and only Son, Jesus. Come to earth in Jesus, the Son of God, God the Son. Walk among human beings beginning as an infant. Not with a loud and majestic and powerful voice, but like an infant's first cries, and they're soft and mewling, and you can barely hear them sometimes. Sometimes it's a squall, a good, hearty, lung-filled squall, but there is that other voice that is sometimes what we hear. And we can be reminded that Elijah fled from the things that he expected were going to come his way by way of Jezebel after he defeated the prophets of Baal. And he finds a mountain, and it has a cave in it, and he's hiding in the cave. And there comes a mighty storm, and there comes fire, and he doesn't hear God's voice in those things. But then comes a still small voice, and he talks to God in that still small voice. God is wonderful. Not small, but big beyond our imaginations. Great, powerful, wise. If the army says, be the best you can be, with all the things that God has built into us, what does it mean for us to be the best that we can be? You know, the world comes up with all kinds of definitions and interpretations of things. There is an effort and a desire to take control and to manipulate things so that they work the way I want them to work. Happens just as part of life. We all like to control the outcomes. We all want things to work out for our benefit. And we take control in order for that to happen. There's a problem with that. There's something missing. In fact, human beings are pretty good and probably have been right from the beginning at trying to take on the role of God. Judgment? God's job. God's job, not mine. But we do it all the time. Not the judgment of discernment, but the judgment of condemning or punishing, or it's very common in our world. And it's very hard not to do that. So we take these things on, and you know, brothers and sisters, it's sin. It is truly sin. This is what it's like. Let's say that I'm the person that normally cooks, okay? But you are in the kitchen and you are doing the cooking. And I come into the kitchen with a critical eye. And I come to you and I say, you're not doing that right. Here, let me take this. I'll do it. Or maybe slightly more kindly, I know you don't usually do the cooking. Here, let me show you the way to do it. But we dare to do that to God the Father, don't we? When we take on God's job, isn't that what we are doing? Belittling our God, making our God out to be something small, not able, not wise, unfaithful to promises. These are the sins. These are the worst sins of humankind. These. They put our God in a bad light. They lie about who God is. These kinds of things. Sorry, I've always believed in a big God. You know, we traumatize ourselves. There is information that I've come across at one point that talked about what it was like for primitive people when an eclipse would happen. And those primitive people would see that eclipse that maybe they'd never seen before. And to them, it looked as though the sun was being eaten up. And it was going to go away. Was this the end of their world, this eclipse? You know, we could be like that, right? If we leave God out, it's hard to tell what we will interpret things as. And we create in these things that we leave God out of, we create in our own hearts and minds traumas. Our bodies and nervous systems and brains are designed so that we have a physically maintained memory of things that have caused emotional reactions in our lives. No thought process is going into it. There is fight or flight, or maybe it feels good or it doesn't feel good, that we respond to on a very physical, natural basis. And God doesn't have to be part of it. But something's missing when we interpret those things without God. Something in the teaching this morning, I think it might have been with the children. Oh, he's not in here. We've heard the illustration that all of creation is like a tapestry that's being created, and we are beneath the tapestry because we're part of the thread that's being drawn into it. And all we see are the tangles and loose threads and places where little knots have been formed that don't really form any kind of picture. But God sees the whole picture. And God is creating beauty. So it made me think, you know, why do we not have the capacity? Why don't we think in terms of all that is? All that is. All. And I'm not talking about just physical things. As being like that set of knots and tangles and hanging threads that in God's eyes is something entirely different from what our tendency to interpret it as being would be. I had a wonderful surprise yesterday. Because I engage with people who are liberal and people who are very conservative, even more conservative than I am. I'm conservative. And this was a post by a liberal. And it was a point of view that has not been voiced. Talking about MAGA. Who said things that I think and feel with our political stuff going on constantly. It said that the liberals don't realize that those who are part of MAGA have been trained and taught by the neglect and the suffering of their position in poverty, in rural settings, in things that don't have to do with living in a big city and depending on money as a cash way of doing things and a variety of things like that. It was a long post. I don't recall all of it. But it looked at that point of view having to do with our politics, with the instruction that we need to be forming relationship. We need to be listening. That these things have been lacking. And I was blessed because this post came from someone I know to be a liberal. It was posted by someone I know to be a liberal. I've been praying for this. I can't tell you how long I've been praying for God to accomplish something to cross the divide among human beings. You know, a smile is a frown turned upside down, right? Or vice versa. We teach our kids that, right? And I was praying at one point for God to turn things upside down so that we would begin to recognize that we're not that far apart. We really aren't. And I got told by a clergy person at one point, in view of all of the things going on, so you're the one that started that. Fortunately, I'm sure that he was joking, but I had prayed for it. And the more I looked at the way things were going, the more I had to think, I prayed for that upside down to happen so that we could find one another and to trust God. If God was answering that prayer, that there was God's purpose in it. God is with us all the time. The promises in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, Jesus promises to be with us always. And in the Old Testament, God promises to be with his people always. Always. We talk nowadays about now but not yet. And it is applied to say, we have a tendency to think of heaven as out there not to be reached until we get to heaven, after we die. No. A creator doesn't create that way. There are people that love and trust Jesus and follow after Jesus all around this globe. And it should teach us something. That if that's true, then God is also all around this globe. The Holy Spirit is here, all around this globe, always with us. And God's purposes are possible because God created us for them. Nothing is impossible. And yet people in our day and age live without hope, in anger and in fear, like those primitive people that I was talking about, without knowing that God is with us and that all things are possible in the Lord, and that God loves us. God is for us. And therefore, this God, this Son of God, this God the Holy Spirit, who keeps promises from generation to generation, keeps promises, is trustworthy. Should be the surest avenue for our hope. And as we respond to life, not out of fear and not out of anger, but within hope, trusting in our Father and praying, asking, seeking, knocking, praying, we should be the most confident people on the face of the planet in our God. And that speaks. And if it doesn't speak to the adults, I'll guarantee it speaks to the children. God bless each and every one of us to be what God has designed us to be. The army says, be all that you can be. Well, you can be many things. Lord, help us to be the best that you have desired us to be in this world. Because your job is not our job, and we can entrust it to you. Even as you have entrusted works into our hands, encouraging us along the way, that we may participate in the work that you are doing in all of creation, for the sake of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.